Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all. Give me a second. Let me get my water. And I'll be there in a second. I hope everybody can hear me. Let me turn on this light, y'all. Sorry about that. Nobody probably, y'all probably can't even see me. There's so much light over here. I wish I can get rid of some of this light, but unfortunately I can't. So let's try to move this around more. Sorry about all this light in y'all way, y'all. I know it's probably some light in your way. Okay. Let's get to it. I have a call-in number, y'all, just to let y'all know. I'm going to put the call-in number into the chat. Give me a second, y'all. I'm putting the call-in number in the chat right now. I got a few questions from some people, so I try to address all this stuff. All right, I just posted the call-in number into the chat, so y'all can call in if you have any questions. I'm sorry about the quality of my camera, y'all, because I'm doing it right now on my cell phone because I really just don't have another. I have two laptops, but neither one of them are strong enough to run it from my $800 camera that I have. So I'm still waiting a little longer before I get another computer. I hate the quality of this camera. I really hate it. We'll see if I can make it better. I tell you what, I might just have to move it because I really hate how that's looking for y'all. Hopefully that's a little better, the quality. That's really not better at all. I'm going to see if I can, damn it. I can't get it the way I want it. Let's see if I can just sit it up close and see if that'll do. All right, that might be better. Okay, y'all. Shit. Anyway, I'm sorry about the quality, y'all. I tried to make it better. It's probably because I'm sitting by this window anyway. But anyway, there's a call-in number, 319-527-6727. You call in to the show, ask questions, and we can just go from there. I found something that I wanted to read to y'all. Okay, let me see something. I got a question here. Looks like a child support. I'll read the question out loud. So Ocean, if you're not watching now, I'm going to read your question and then I'll give you some commentary on it. It says, basically my question is, how can I beat child support and child custody? My son's mother left to Georgia with him. I filed for emergency custody, and a couple weeks after child support contacted me, they said it was nothing they could do because I already filed for custody first. Then they go to court and take the max amount on me, and they have been extorting me this whole time. Still haven't seen him, and I filed for emergency custody. Damn. Okay. All of this is civil. We all know that. So, what is it? Who is the child? Is the child with the mother, Ocean? I'm going to call you Ocean. Is the child with the mother? If the child is with the mother, it'll be a little difficult if the child is with the mother. But, you know, at least the child will be, you know, presumably safe based on that. This is tough because you're, Do you, all right, do you know which state that she's in, Ocean? So when you get time, Ocean, just watch this video and just answer the questions. I'll try to stay on for about probably 3 hours. I'll try to stay on for 3 hours just to answer as many questions as I can. I'm going to give y'all the call-in number again. Call-in number is 319-527-6727. That's the call-in number. Call in, y'all. I found an article, and I'm going to read to y'all. Give me a second. I'm typing it in now. Give me a second, y'all. Where is it? It is right here. This is very interesting to me. I'm not surprised by it, but I'm going to read this anyway. The purpose of me reading this is to piss y'all off everywhere so the people will do something about it, hopefully. I'm not sure, but hopefully we'll do something about it. This article it says thousands of U.S. judges who broke laws or oaths remain on the bench. In the past dozen years, state and local judges who have repeatedly escaped public accountability for misdeeds that have victimized thousands, 9 of 10 kept their jobs. 9 of 10 kept their jobs, including an Alabama judge who unlawfully jailed hundreds of people, many of them black, over traffic fines. Now, I don't really think race has anything to do with it, but I could be wrong. This is Alabama we're talking about here, so I could be wrong. Hit that like button for me, y'all, if y'all don't mind. Hit the like button, hit the like button, hit the like button. I'll be checking the chat from time to time to see if anybody has any questions. I'm going to read from this article right here because I'm trying to piss y'all off and just make people pay attention because this shit is ridiculous. Ain't no way in hell if these judges, let me read this article, but ain't no way in hell that these judges should still be in office or they shouldn't at least receive some type of sanctions where it's costing them. Ain't no way in hell. Anyway, Judge Les Hayes once sentenced a single mother to 496 days behind bars for failing to pay traffic tickets. Can y'all believe that shit? The sentence was so stiff, it exceeded the jail time Alabama allows for negligent homicide. Can y'all believe that shit there? Marquita Johnson, who was locked up in April 2012, says the impact to her life in jail endures today. Johnson's 3 children were cast into foster care while she was incarcerated. One daughter was molested, state record shows. Another was physically abused. Judge Hayes took away my life and didn't care how my children suffered, says Johnson. She's 36 now. My girls will never be the same. Fellow inmates found her sentence to be hard to believe. They had a nickname for her, the woman with all the days. Johnson said, that's what they called me, the woman with all the days. There were people who had committed real crimes who got out before me. How the fuck do you sentence somebody to 496 days because they are indigent, because they can't afford to pay traffic tickets, traffic fines? How the fuck? That's unlawful, by the way, just to let y'all know. That is unlawful. They call it invidious discrimination. That shit is unlawful. Let me keep reading this shit. In 2016, the state agency that oversees judges charged Hayes with violating Alabama's Code of Judicial Conduct, according to the Judicial Inquiry Commission. Just to let y'all know, the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission, which is an administrative agency, that is where you file a complaint against the judge for violating the Code of Judicial Conduct. And they can sanction the judge. They can remove the judge from office. They can fine him and remove him from office, all types of shit. Hayes broke state and federal laws by jailing Johnson and hundreds of others. This was in Montgomery. So it says, hundreds of other Montgomery residents too poor to pay fines. Among those jailed, a plumber struggling to make rent, a mother who skipped meals to cover the medical bills of her disabled son, and a hotel housekeeper working her way through college. Hayes, a judge since 2000, admitted in court documents in violating 10 different parts of state judicial conduct code. One of the counts was a breach of judge's most essential duty, failing to respect and comply with the law. Despite the severity of the ruling, Hayes was barred from, despite the severity of the ruling, Hayes wasn't barred from serving as a judge. Instead, a judicial commission and Hayes reached a deal. The former Eagle Scout would serve an 11-month unpaid suspension. That's good, too, but motherfucker, you don't need to be no judge. You do not need to be no judge if that's what the fuck you down there doing. Then he could return to the bench. Until he was disciplined, Hayes said in the interview with Reuters, "I never thought I was doing something wrong." Can y'all believe that shit? Now, I'm convinced that he lied when he said that. That's a motherfucking lie. You did not think that. Because if you thought that, then you don't need to be a judge sitting on this damn bench, even though they're not judges. You don't need to be no judge sitting on this bench if that's what the fuck you thought. Anyway, this week, Hayes is set to retire after 20 years as a judge. In a statement, Hayes said he was very remorseful for his misdeeds. Man. Boy, a community activist says his departure is long overdue, yet the decision to leave, they say, should never have been his to make. I agree, given his record of misconduct. He should have been fired years ago, said Willie Knight, a pastor of North Montgomery Baptist Church. He broke the law and wanted to get away with it. His sudden retirement is years too late. Hayes is among thousands of state and local judges across America who were allowed to keep positions of extraordinary power and prestige after violating judicial ethics, rules, or breaking laws they pledged to uphold. Judges have made racist statements, lied to state officials, and forced defendants to languish in jail without a lawyer. Yeah, they have. And then return to the bench, sometimes with little more than a rebuke from the state agencies overseeing their conduct. Recent media reports have documented failures in judicial oversight in South Carolina, Louisiana, and Illinois. Let me see. I'm going to check the chat right now. Where is it? Let me go back to the chat. Y'all can call in if y'all have a question. 319-527-6727. 319-527-6727. Let me start back reading this order. This stuff like this just be pissing me off. It really just pisses me off because there's no way that this man should have still been on that bench. I know he's not the only one. In the first comprehensive accounting of judicial misconduct nationality, Reuters identified and reviewed 1,509 cases from the last dozen years, 2008 through 2019, in which judges resigned, retired, or were publicly disciplined following accusations of misconduct. In addition, reporters identified another 3,613 cases from 2008 to 2018, in which states disciplined wayward judges but kept hidden from the public key details of their offenses, including the identities of the judges themselves. Look at this shit. Why the fuck do people let these people do this shit? Why? Why do your public servant, they seem to be okay with this because they don't want you to know who these judges are. It's like they're protecting them to a certain degree. Why is that allowed? Because people allow it. Anytime stuff like this happens, nobody should go to work within that particular so-called city or whatever, wherever this corrupt official is or whatever. They need to handle his ass. And anybody who is tacitly authorizing this judge's misconduct, They need their ass removed from office too. These motherfuckers need to be sanctioned. These folks need to know that they are not above the law. That's what they need to know. And when I say law, I'm talking about the people's law. I already told y'all the people can nullify every Supreme Court decision that they don't like whenever the fuck they want. And that's the truth. How do you think they got away with the Dred Scott thing when they said Negroes were not considered U.S. citizens or something like that? They did that shit. They nullified that opinion with an amendment to the Constitution. That's what they did. And that's not the first time they've done that. The way you nullify a Supreme Court decision is you amend your Constitution. If you don't want these corrupt motherfuckers, I personally, don't get me wrong, some judges do deserve immunity, and some don't. I'm all the way against judicial immunity. I don't know if any of y'all have read any cases in regards to judicial immunity, but when you do, you should be pissed the fuck off. Because they can do damn near whatever the fuck they want in judicial immunity. They can do damn near whatever. It's like that shit gives them carte blanche. It's like a blank check when you become a judge. You can do whatever the fuck you want damn near. And I mean literally whatever the fuck you want. Got a question here. Give me a second, y'all. Let me see what this question is. Anything. I mean, it's a criminal case, civil case. It really doesn't matter. We can get off topic a little if y'all want. Not too much, but we'll get off topic a little bit. What's good, support? Which one of y'all asked me for that document, the Fourth Amendment document? I don't know who it was, and I forgot to send it once I got offline. I don't know who asked me for that document, so I do apologize for that. SG. Okay. If you don't mind, SG, you can send me an email or you can put your email in the chat. And I just go ahead and do it while I'm online, because if I get off again, I'm going to forget again. So I go ahead and do it. Let me start back reading this article, y'all. Let me see. Blackstone commentaries help. No, it was support. Somebody was talking about I did a video, and in the video, it was a little short video, and it was explaining, I was elaborating on Fourth Amendment jurisprudence, and I was telling y'all that an attorney had drafted this. It's like 700 and something pages of just case law. Remember the – okay, SG, yeah, I got you. Okay, I got you. I'm going to go ahead and send it right now, SG. Let me send it right now. Let's go here. Yeah. It's going to be from smartloketv@gmail.com, SG. And I'm getting ready to send it right now. Give me a second. Let me make sure I got the right one. Y'all hit that like button for me if y'all don't mind. Please hit that like button for me. Where are we at here? Fourth Amendment. Fourth Amendment. I think it's this one right here. Right now, I'm just looking for it right now. I'm trying to make sure that I got the right document. I don't want to send you the wrong thing. Yep, it's 788 pages. I got it. Okay. All right. What's the name? Shit, hold on. Bingo, right here. All right. Give me about one more minute. Give me one more minute, SG. It's loading up right now. Bingo. It's loading up right now. It's going to say Fourth Amendment PDF. That's what it's going to say. All right. I just sent it, SG. Let me know if you got it. Okay, cool, SG. Okay. SG, there are judicial review committees for when judges go outside of their authority. I appreciate. Yeah, we have one in Alabama. There's one called the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission, which is an administrative agency. Y'all know most of these motherfuckers who sit on these so-called review boards or whatever, they're attorneys. They're fucking attorneys. That's a conflict of interest right there. They're attorneys. And some of them are judges. Tell me how the fuck, how fair do y'all think that is? That shit ain't fair. But you know, that's what they're doing. I don't like none of that shit. Sometimes they do punish judges, you know, but I just feel like they just be letting these motherfuckers get away with too much stuff, which I don't like. Let me start back reading this article again. All right. All told, 9 of every 10 judges were allowed to return to the bench after they were sanctioned for misconduct. They included a California judge who had sex in his courthouse chambers once with his former law intern and separately with an attorney. A New York judge who berated domestic victims, and a Maryland judge who, after his arrest for driving drunk, was allowed to return to the bench, provided he took a breathalyzer test before each appearance. I need to read some more about this New York judge. He says, this New York judge who berated domestic violence victims. I got to read. Let me click on this article. I need to see what, I'm trying to see what he said. Agreed statement of facts. State of New York Commission of Judicial Misconduct. This is a 25-page, looks like an answer from the review board. It is 25 pages if anybody want to read it. Good God. As to charge one, fault of AG, Elizabeth, legend involved, death, Jupiter dream. I mean, I'm going to post this shit for y'all to read in the chat. This is about this New York judge. Joe Cool. Police and judges are royalty above the law. They seem to think that, but no, the fuck they ain't. No disrespect, Joe Cool. They seem to think that, but no, they not, because they're not sovereign. I want y'all to hear me when I say this. Now, I'm not telling y'all to go and do this, okay? But I am telling you, the people, do have the right when public officials start acting like tyrants to go down to their public office. That's a public office. That office is held in trust. That is not their office. Okay, the people have every right to go down there and like, look, man, you fucking up. We don't like what you're doing down here. So we're going to go on demand you resign right now. We're demanding you to resign right now. You have zero discretion other than saying that you're going to resign from this office. And when that motherfucker say no, the people have every right to use any type of force reasonable to get that motherfucker out of office. You have every right to do that. Every right. Y'all remember that case when I read y'all? It was the Alabama Supreme Court case from 1867. That was a principle, though. When it says, no doubt the ultimate sovereignty, the government-making sovereignty, meaning the power to create government, resides in the people. And it says, but once the people have created a government, they can only exercise this sovereignty, meaning they can only exercise that sovereignty to create another government, either by revolution, what the fuck is a revolution, or in the manner they have prescribed to themselves in the Constitution. The people do, in order for the people to change the Constitution, they do not have to do it in the manner that they have prescribed to themselves in the Constitution. That is for the legislatures and public servants to do. The people can change the Constitution whenever the fuck they want because the Constitution belongs to the people. You're welcome. You're welcome. They investigate themselves and find... Exactly, Joe Cool. You're 100% right. 100% right. Let me give y'all this call-in number again. Call-in number 319-527-6727. I'm gonna post the call-in number into the chat, and I'm gonna put my my cash tag in there if y'all are feeling generous. Appreciate the offer. I'm gonna put my cash tag in there. You send me whatever you send me. I don't care what it is. Oh boy, that'll be my cash tag. Let me start back reading this. Let me see. The news agency's finding revealed in excessively forgiving judicial disciplinary system, said Stephen Gillers, a law professor at New York University who writes about judicial ethics. Although punishment short of removal from the bench is appropriate for most misconduct cases, the public would be appalled at some of the lenient treatment judges get for substantial transgressions. I know that shit real. Among the cases from the past year alone, in Utah, a judge texted a video of a man's scrotum to court clerks. He was reprimanded but remains on the bench. In Indiana, three judges attending a conference last spring got drunk and sparked a 3 a.m. brawl outside the White Castle food restaurant that ended with two of the judges shot. This is crazy. Although the state Supreme Court found the three judges had discredited the entire Indiana judiciary, each returned to the bench after a suspension. Some of this stuff, I don't care what they do in their private life. I'm talking about public. When they're on the bench and they are supposed to be, administering the laws in regards to the Constitution. I ain't studying no statute. I'm talking about the Constitution and the common law and due process and, shit like that. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care what they do in their private life. Well, it depends on what they is. Depends on what they've done. In Texas, a judge burst in on jurors deliberating the case of a woman charged with sex trafficking and declared that God told him the defendant was innocent. The offending judge received a warning and returned to the bench. The defendant was convicted after a new judge took over the case. There are certain things where there should be a level of zero tolerance, the jury foreman Mark House. The judge should have been fined, the House said, and kicked off the bench. There is no justice because he is doing his job. Judicial misconduct specialist says such behavior has the potential to erode trust in the American's court, and absent tough consequences could give judge licenses to behave with impunity. See what the fuck I'm talking about? They already have that with judicial immunity. They have that with judicial immunity. That's how local lawyers view the case of a longtime Alabama judge who concurrently served on the state's Judicial Oversight Commission. The judge, Coleman District Court, Kim Cheney, remained on the bench for 3 years after being accused of violating the same nepotism rules he was tasked with enforcing on the Oversight Commission. In at least 200 cases, court records show Judge Cheney chose his own son to serve as a court-appointed defense lawyer for the indigent, enabling the younger Cheney to earn at least $105,000 in fees over 2 years. This is crazy, man. This is crazy. But the reason why they get away with this is because they're public servants sweeping this shit under the rug, and people just don't give a fuck. They don't care unless it's happening to them. That's the only time when people care, when it's happening to them. And it shouldn't be like that. It should not be like that. All right, caller 2664. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Can you hear me okay?
Man. Yeah, I can hear you. What's up?
Well, before I forget, I was listening to Yusuf, I guess a couple of days ago, and it was a guy that called in to talk about his how he did in court, and he said something about what did he say? Oh, he said that he had a criminal charge and a civil charge, and the judge threw the civil charge out, and he says something about not being able to have the same judge and prosecutor on a civil case or something, and I wasn't sure what he was talking about. Do you know what he meant?
I don't think
or
I heard
it. Or is it that there's no – is there even a prosecutor on a civil case?
You the prosecutor on a civil case. Now, if you're going to child support court or something like that, then, you know, the state is going to appoint the mother with an attorney, and then the attorney for the mother is going to prosecute the case. But in all civil cases, generally speaking, you are the prosecutor because you determine the remedy that you're seeking. You decide what evidence that you need and that you don't need, and you decide what evidence that you're trying to get admitted into evidence. You decide which cause of actions that you're going to bring. You decide who the defendants are, all that shit. You're a prosecutor.
I think it was whatever it was the state that charged them with the civil charge. It may have been.
I've never heard of that unless it was dealing with some type of probably child support.
He had a charge. He got busted with something. He had a possession charge, so I guess the possession was a criminal charge, and whatever the other thing might have been, I'm not sure. But I wasn't sure if maybe that kind of familiar.
I've never heard of that before. Maybe if I heard, like if I actually watched the video what Yusuf was talking about, I would probably know. But I don't think I've heard of it.
It was the most recent live show, and the guy. He took the guy's call at about the 15 minute mark, like the last 15 minutes is when he started talking. But that's not my real question.
Okay.
Before about my child support issue, and I had to I ended up contesting them, you know, I forget what they call it, but blocking my passport and taking my income tax return.
Okay.
And they ended up dismissed. Well, the other party submitted a motion to dismiss, and it was granted. I believe for lack of facts in the case, and the case was sealed. So, from your experience, as far as like I noticed that they instead of have like all I had was a copy of my order from that the child support agency sent me, but I was the attorney for the other. I mean, I was basically up against the Department of Health and Human Services, so the Assistant Attorney General was their counsel, and they had an actual certified copy of the court order, so. My guess is if I go through the rules of evidence, it might answer this question. But from your experience, what does the court accept as facts and evidence? And like in my case where I'm dealing with essentially a contract.
Okay.
Like apparently they didn't count the copy that I sent them, but they were okay with the certified copy that the other side had. It was the same thing though.
Well, can't nobody testify if they're not a witness. Nobody can testify. So this is what is considered evidence. Evidence that has been admitted into evidence. The court can review that and consider that as evidence. Your testimony is evidence, videos, and what constitutes a fact is, let's say, you saying that you do pay child support, and your kid's mother is saying that you don't pay child support or whatever, then there's a dispute. But let's say you say, I do pay child support, and then your kid's mother says, yeah, he does pay child support. That becomes a stipulation, and as a matter of law, it automatically becomes a fact because you're not arguing over whether it's true or not. And if it's material to the case, then it would be a material fact. A material fact will it's going to have some type of effect on how the judge is going to rule in the case.
So in that example, you kind of have hearsay versus hearsay. But if both sides agree on that, then it becomes a fact. But if you disagree, then
or if you don't respond,
somebody
to
has
it,
to come up
like
with
that.
Some hard evidence.
Yeah. Or
I think that's what they did. Is I think they said that I failed to respond, but they also switched judges. They sent a notice that they switched judges. At the same time, like the same within a day or so, I got a notice of, that the judge changed, and that the and I got the copy of the motion to dismiss. So I suspect that they might have changed the case number, but I haven't verified that. But
well, if the
I don't have
is,
the paper with me.
If the record, are you trying to get a copy of the record?
I want to know. Like I sent a response. And I sent it within the time period. But what they said was that I believe it actually said it was a failure to respond. But and then they gave all these different case laws and stuff explaining what was required. That I just haven't had time to read. But I took it almost as if they just ignored what I sent to them. So
they
I don't
probably
know if what I don't know if what I sent didn't meet their criteria or if they
what
just
did you send?
You know closed it because they didn't want to deal with it.
What did you send?
I sent them a copy of the court order pointing out I never waived my right to receive the prior notice that I talked to you about, where it had a right to contest the case for. Dispute and material facts. So they basically denied. So they said that I agreed to not take that.
Was this copy of the court order from the same court case that the case was tried in, or was this a different judge?
No. This is the where I sent this most recent stuff. Was through the administrative hearings office, not through the court here where we had the child support hearing.
Oh, okay. So I was
disputing them withholding my income tax and my passport. I don't have a passport, so it doesn't really matter. But the point is, they never. The problem is the stipulation in the court order where it says that I agree to not take that prior notice of withholding according to the terms in the court order. And there's no terms in there. And there was no meeting of the minds or anything where I said I waived my right to receive that prior notice. So my assumption, and because I've seen where the Department of Health and Human Services is supposed to set up rules for how they handle somebody contesting that withholding, and they don't have rules for it. So that lets me know. And the guy that I talked to even said that they never send those forms out for people to the prior notices. They'll send them to anybody in the county. So what they're trying to do is cover up the fact that they put that stipulation in the court order for everybody so they don't have to deal with people contesting their cases all the time, clogging up the court.
Probably.
That's really what it is. But they're not going to admit that.
Probably so.
So what I want to do is contest the actual withholding order that they sent to my employer. Like my daughter's been living with me since the end of February, and they're still taking money from me. And they know that she lives with me. So they're making it personal now. And I'm just going to use all the options that I have. If nothing else, I just want to get on their nerves. I mean, they like you've been saying, they can do whatever they want in the administrative court. But
yeah,
I am going to have a record of everything they're doing.
Yeah, just make your record and then appeal it to an actual, I mean, all of them are administrative agencies, but appeal it to a so-called court. I was going to say a higher court, but all of them are administrative agents. Because once you appeal, in my opinion, once you appeal via a statute to a higher so-called authority, I mean, they're sitting in an administrative capacity. So it just don't make sense to me.
But as far as evidence, like if I sent them, I even burned a voicemail from the guy I have to talk to with the child support agency, where I asked him a very specific question about contesting something, contesting them taking my tax return. I had to leave him a voicemail because he never answers the phone. I was very specific that I just needed the correct address to send it to because they had conflicting addresses.
Okay.
And I ended up missing his call, so he left me a voicemail talking about, oh, you don't need to respond to that because that's just for when, once we're taking your income tax, then you can appeal it. It's something that he said where if I followed his instructions, I would have missed the deadline. But he didn't even answer my question. So I sent him a copy of that voicemail, just giving them all kinds of evidence that I'm sure they're aware of what's going on because they're all part of it. And instead of somebody addressing that, they just dismissed the case and sealed it. So you can pull up court decisions on their website, and mine's not on there.
Well, I mean, if you're a party to the case, you should be able to at least see those case files since you're a party to the case. So that shouldn't matter.
Yeah, I'll probably have to contact them directly, but they don't make it publicly viewable for everybody.
Gotcha. I'm sorry you're going through that, man. They don't play fair, though.
You know what? I'm not okay with it, but I'm okay with it because I haven't been perfect in life. So I probably have it coming from other past transgressions. So I just, I take it with a grain of salt, I guess.
I got you.
But as far as, like if I was to submit in this case, if I was showing them a problem with my court order, does it matter if the court order is a copy or if it's a certified copy? Should it matter? And another thing I noticed is that the other party, it looked like they used a computer program to print out like respondents, evidence A, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Can you handwrite that on there? Like if you have different pieces of evidence and you need to label them A, B, and C, does it matter how it looks? Like can it be handwritten or do they expect you to put a sticker on there?
You're talking about labeling evidence?
Yes.
No, it doesn't matter. When you pro se, so they're a little lenient against you because you're pro se. Even if you weren't pro se, it doesn't matter. They just do that shit to look professional, to be honest with you. It really doesn't matter. But in regards to that court order you were talking about, I'm gonna say yeah, it does matter if it's certified or not. The reason I say that is because anybody can type up a court order.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get it certified from them, it's like they're actually agreeing that yeah, this is the ruling that was in that case.
Okay.
So I would say it does hold more weight. But they're probably not required to consider it evidence unless it's certified pursuant to the rules of evidence. Because they are all so-called states have their own rules of evidence, just like the federal rules of evidence. Like when you're litigating a civil case or a criminal case in federal court, what determines the admissibility of the evidence is the federal rules of evidence.
Okay. Yeah, and they have – I saw that they have their own rules for court. It might match, whatever the state is and the federal rules, but they have their own set of rules that I have to read through. So I'll be reading that and checking over the different statutes and stuff that, they reference in their dismissal of the case. But I was just checking to see if you had any tips for me to look out for.
Well, anytime you're litigating in so-called court, follow the rules of evidence. That is going to determine, this message is not just for you, this message is for anybody who's listening. That is going to determine when you can file a motion to strike. That is going to determine when you can make objections because the evidence is not relevant because it violates the rules of evidence. So if it's not relevant, then what are we talking about it for? It's irrelevant. What you're asking for, I shouldn't have to give you this shit because it has nothing to do with the case. It also determines, like I just said, it determines the admissibility or the inadmissibility of evidence. Another thing I want to point out to y'all, if you're litigating a case and they're asking for so much shit and you're like, why are they asking for this? Why are they asking for that? I'm going to tell you this. Just because the evidence is discoverable, meaning it's subject to being turned over, to the opposing counsel if they ask for it, that doesn't mean the evidence is admissible. Meaning they can use the evidence. Doesn't mean it's, that they can use it just because they're asking for it. So just be very careful with that. What else? That's pretty much it, to be honest with you, in regards to the rules of evidence that I can think of right now.
One last question, and then
go
I'll
ahead.
Get down. I actually gotta get back to work. When you send in a, I guess you call it your complaint when you first initiate an action, can you send a subpoena for information or people to appear or whatever at that time, or do you have to wait until a case number
is signed? You have to wait. Subpoena is a discovery tool. It's an instrument of discovery. So you won't get to do any subpoenaing until it's being set off for trial. Now, if it's a civil case, then you have to wait until they are, generally speaking, like if you sued a public servant, you have to wait until either they have answered their complaint. Like in my case, I had to wait until they answered their complaint, and then I had to wait until we got a scheduling order in. After he answered their complaint, then the judge issued an order ordering me and the defense counsel to have a meeting and to discuss how the trial would proceed. I think it's a rule 26 or something like that. So after that meeting, then me and counsel agreed that we would go ahead and proceed with discovery in the civil case. Now, if it's a criminal case, once you go to court, after your arraignment, you can immediately start discovery after your arraignment because you said not guilty. Okay, well, your trial date will be 90 days from now or whatever. So they're going to go ahead and let you go through discovery. The case is won before it even goes to trial. All cases are won or lost before they even go to trial. Because while you're waiting to go to trial, you're filing motions to dismiss, you're filing requests for productions, you're subpoenaing witnesses, you're subpoenaing evidence, you file the motion for discovery, so on and so forth like that. That's in a civil case, though.
Criminal case. Are you required to be notified when you can start discovery, or is that just something that's understood?
No, it's generally speaking, it's just something that's understood. But I mean, who knows what the state that you're in? They may require them to notify you that it's time for discovery. You know, you can go ahead and do discovery. But generally speaking,
well, I'll check that because I think I might have missed the discovery period also.
Yeah. Well, you already had the trial.
No, we didn't. They didn't even get to a point of like I got a letter that said we'll let you know close to the. It was supposed to be a hearing in May, but they said they would notify me closer to that time with a specific date, and we never got to that point because of that motion to dismiss.
Yeah, don't believe nothing these people say, man. Just do your own research.
I could have. There was a somewhere I could have appealed that decision to, but I really wasn't worried about that because they weren't going to do anything about the real issue. So I just, they sent me all that information that I could reference, and I can use that to go back to them sending that notice to withhold my money.
Gotcha.
In the first place.
Gotcha.
Now, like I said before, if I owed the money, I wouldn't be fighting like this. But I didn't know it. I got my hands on the information that I wasn't able to access for the original hearing. And they just denied me the opportunity to give it to them. And it's like, come on.
It's an administrative hearing, so you should have an appeal. So they gonna in those administrative hearings, they gonna do whatever the fuck they want. Cause I don't think they have a court report in there. So they make up their own.
I requested one. That was the thing. I sent the form in to contest them with them taking my tax return and passport. And then they sent up another form to set up the date and where I wanted to have it, make sure all parties agreed on that stuff.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I missed. It was something that you just said that reminded me. What were you just talking about?
Talking about an administrative proceeding, an appeal, no, a court. Oh, you're talking about a court reporter. Okay.
That's right. That's right. They asked if I wanted a court reporter in the questionnaire, and you can either hire your own. No, actually, it didn't even. I don't think it gave you the option to hire your own. It said that you can get a court reporter from these places. So I have to actually read their rules and make sure only those reporters are allowed. Maybe that was just them trying to talk me into using somebody that they can manipulate.
Yeah, I would agree with that. No, you should be able to hire any type of court reporter. I would hire my own.
I did request a court reporter, but I also requested a translator, and they asked what language I needed translated to, and I wrote American English. So I know they just didn't want to deal with me because of, they know I don't know everything, but I know too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
As far as how the system works.
Yeah, no, I want to say
something.
I know
they didn't want to deal with that.
I want to point out something right now since we're talking about administrative agencies. The fire department is an administrative agency. Do they talk like judges? No. Do they wear robes? No. The school board is an administrative agency. Do they talk like judges? No. Do they wear robes? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I learned is that any agency that pretty much works for a state department or is under the control of any state department is the agency. And if you look at the U.S. government, the acts of Congress that made it necessary for these departments to be created. You can read in there where they're saying that this department must be created and this person is going to be the chief or whatever, deputy of this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the U.S. government's version of it. But the same thing is the state government.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all under the control of the executive branch.
Yeah, what they do is they wait until they basically see what they can get away with, and they'll try something out. If they don't win, they'll find a little loophole in their case, because sometimes there'll be a little loophole in the court opinions, but you have to look for them. And once they find the loophole, they'll get by with whatever they can get by with, and they'll just keep trying and trying and trying until they get as close to their goal as they can.
But one thing I noticed is that they give you everything that they're – all the rules that they're going by, and they only get away with it, quote, unquote, if you don't read those rules that they cite and make sure that they did what they were supposed to do. Like in my case, the way I looked at it was like, okay, these people might be trying to help me, because they could have just said that this case is dismissed, and that's it. But they cited every statute that they were working in accordance with. I just haven't had time to read the stuff, so
yeah,
I'm gonna hold off passing judgment on that until I read what they say they went by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All administrative proceedings are civil in nature, all of them. And all administrative proceedings are creatures of statutes. The reason why I'm telling y'all this is because when they so-called file these criminal charges against you, they're doing it under a statute. And I just told you all administrative proceedings are civil in nature. But they're treating it as if it's criminal, to try to throw you off your game, so they can appoint you an attorney, and once they appoint you to attorney, it makes it look like that it's not an administrative proceeding, because an administrative proceeding, you don't have a right to an attorney in there. Not in an administrative proceeding, you don't. It's certain due process rights that are inapplicable in an administrative proceeding.
Yeah, I don't know how loud this truck is, but I'm gonna hang up and go back to YouTube. So I don't want to hold you up anymore.
Okay, cool, man, cool, no problem.
But I appreciate
luck,
the information.
Man. You're welcome. Good luck, man. Don't give up.
All right.
Back to the phone lines. Let's see. Let me give y'all this call in number again. Okay, the call-in number, 319-527-6727, if y'all want to call in and have questions. Who is this? Rebecca Towns. Happy birthday, Rebecca. J.R. Brum trying to post a comment. YouTube's attorneys trying to screen it. I don't know why they're trying to screen it, J.R. Who knows? Ain't no telling. Who knows? Somebody calling. Somebody was calling my phone. Sorry about that, y'all. Let's see. Anybody have any questions? If not, I'm going to start back reading this article. Anybody have any questions? Any questions? I'm going to read this article on these corrupt-ass judges that just do what the hell they want to think they can do, whatever the hell they want to do. And people just don't say nothing to these people. They don't do nothing to these people. I'm not going to lie, y'all. I had a judge. I was sitting in court. I was in there as a spectator. And it was a black judge, a woman. This woman had me handcuffed in jail, guarded by, not in jail, but in court. And I was guarded by two police officers. Her reason for doing this was because I checked the time on my cell phone. After she told people, to turn the cell phone off or whatever. Now, mind you, now, while I'm sitting on this bench, y'all, guarded by two police officers, a police officer's cell phone literally rings in the courtroom. This bitch didn't do nothing. She ain't look his way. So I filed a complaint against that bitch. What the fuck is wrong with you? This man's cell phone literally rings in court. Loud while she's up there. She has the plaintiff and the defendant in front of her. She didn't do nothing. I filed a complaint against her with the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission. A few weeks later, maybe 2-3 weeks later, something like that, I got a phone call from a retired chief deputy. His name was Mike Jones. He was a white guy. We're on the phone and we're talking. The first thing out of his mouth was, "Who typed my complaint?" I said, "I did." He said, "You did this? It looked like an attorney did this." I said, "No, I did it." So we met up. You know, he was there to investigate, you know, what was going on or something like that. Now, this is in municipal court. But he asked me, were there any notices or something like that on the door, you know, saying that your cell phones had to be off and all this or whatever, blah, blah, which there were. But my cell phone didn't ring. I just checked the time on my cell phone, you know. That was an administrative rule that you're not allowed to have, you know, turn your cell phone. So that was an administrative rule. In other what I'm trying to tell y'all is that was quasi-legislative. That's what it was. Because it's an administrative agency, and administrative agencies exercise all three powers of government. Quasi-legislative, executive, and quasi-judicial. Y'all know they ain't do nothing to them? They ain't do nothing to that motherfucker. And this was years ago before I knew about, before I knew where their buns were. If she tried that today, now that I know where their buns are, she'll be, it'll cost her. A Supreme Court judge down here in Florida was trying to call out the bad judges down here. Was almost disbarred, then was put into witness protection because his family was at risk for calling out his fellow corrupt judges. I support. Can you call in? I want to talk about that. Can you call into the show? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that. Now, if y'all just tuning in, I started reading an article where this judge in Alabama sentenced this woman to 496 days in jail because she was poor and she couldn't pay traffic tickets. Now, she had kids, too. Her kids went into foster care because of this shit. Same thing happened to Kathleen Kane in Pennsylvania. You're talking about she was sent into jail because she was too poor to pay the traffic fines, the traffic tickets, SG? And so her kid, that is crazy, man. That is crazy. Oh, she tried to expose judicial misconduct. Is that, what happened to her, SG? Is she was she like a prosecutor? Was she a judge? Was she a clerk? What was she? She was disbarred. Oh, she was an attorney. She was disbarred. Damn. The fact that you can get disbarred for that, but not violating the judicial code of ethics, is crazy. That's a conflict of interest. These are all attorneys. She was the attorney general. Wow. Wow. Okay, support. That's crazy, man. That's why I don't want to be an attorney. Have any of y'all watched that video when I posted a couple of days ago, attorney versus counsel? Did any of y'all watch that video? I'm trying to pull up the case. Okay, support. Good, good. The committee that disbarred her was the people she was exposing. Wow. That's a conflict of interest. She's still counsel. This is, after I read that case, I didn't read the whole, I need to go back and finish reading that case. I still got the case citation just in case whenever I want to, sorry about that. I still got the case citation just in case I want to go back and read it. Sorry about that. But after I read that case, probably to sum it up, I got from that case, anytime they were referencing counsel, they were saying it in reference to the common law. So in cases tried at law, you had a right to counsel and not an attorney because they're two different things. So an attorney could not represent you, could not file, you know, paperwork, could not argue a case before for you in court. Counsel had to do that. So whoever drafted the Constitution, they intentionally used the word counsel instead of an attorney. I'm convinced that is they did that on purpose. I think they called it Porngate. It started with inappropriate emails, including racist stuff. Porngate. Oh, okay. So if I understand you correctly, SG, she was trying to expose all of the stuff that they were doing. Okay, was anything they were doing relating to how they were ruling and making their decisions in public office? If so, then yeah, they need to be gone. Period. They need to be gone, period. And you said they disbarred her. That's crazy, man. Let me check the phone lines. I got about 52 minutes on the air. So if y'all want to call in, we don't have to just talk about corrupt judges. We can talk about anything, whatever y'all want. We can talk about whatever. Cases, rules, evidence, common law, equity, admiralty, whatever. Doesn't matter. Have any of y'all found the buns in your state statutes that allows you to get out of jail? Like a PO, not a PO buns, a bail buns. In Alabama, there's four. And I found the statutes. And I cross-referenced those buns with the buns that they mentioned in your clerk's practice. And all of them are three out of four of them are admiralty buns. Close relationships between prosecutors, judges, and defenders. So it must be some type of conflict of interest stuff. I can agree with that. I know in Alabama, you can file a complaint against a judge, and the judges still can try your case, even though you got a complaint pending against them with the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission. I was shocked to find that. But that's what they're doing. These folks need to be stopped. They need to be stopped. This don't make no damn sense. But people, they just going to let them keep doing it. Let them keep doing it. Let them keep doing it. If you haven't already, please go ahead and hit that like button, y'all. Hit that like button for me if you haven't. The case was sealed and someone supposedly leaked the info. She said she didn't do it and she did a little time for perjury. I hate them damn folks, y'all. I have very, very, very little tolerance for these people. Because they're just so corrupt and they think they can do whatever the hell they want to do. These folks really think that. I agree, Rome, but you would think because the judge, now since you filed a complaint against the judge, that the judge has a reason to be biased against you, you would think. But that's not the case. It's not the case here. I know how to get a judge off my case now. I'm just going to contact risk management. I already got a copy of the bun. Get a copy of the bun, call the insurance company. And I'm going to file a claim against their ass. That's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to file, if I have to file procreate quasi-criminal charges against them, civil charges, in federal and state court, I'm going to make sure that they don't ever fuck with me no more. Ever. They think that me, I'm not scared of these motherfuckers. I don't want to go to jail. Who the fuck want to go to jail? You know what I'm saying? But if they ever give me a lawful purpose to defend myself, it's done. It's either them or me. And if they ever, like I said, if they ever give me a lawful purpose to defend myself, I'm going to defend myself. Crazy, man. These folks, they just think they can do whatever the hell they want to do, man. Think they can do whatever the hell they want to do. Think they're untouchable. I'm going to read some more of this article, y'all. All right. Let's see. Tell me to ignore your first file of grand jury. That said, he does the judgment. You're involved in American justice. Let me see something. There's something else. Each U.S. judge that oversight agency that investigates misconduct. Let me see. Each U.S. state has an oversight agency that investigates misconduct complaints against judges. The authority of the oversight agencies is distinct from the power held by the appellate court, which can reverse a judge's legal ruling and order a new trial. Judicial commissions cannot change verdicts. Rather, they can investigate complaints about the behavior of judges and pursue discipline ranging from reprimand to removal. Few experts dispute that the great majority of judges behave responsibly, respecting the law and those who appear before them. And some contend that when judges do falter, oversight agencies are effective in identifying and addressing the behavior. With a few notable exceptions, the commissions generally get it right, said Keith Swisher, a University of Arizona professor, law professor, who specializes in judicial ethics. Others disagree. They note that the clout of these commissions is limited and their authority differs from state to state. To remove a judge, all but a handful of states require approval of a panel that includes other judges, and most states seldom exercise the full extent of those disciplinary powers. Y'all see this shit? Boy, they get on my damn nerves. So it has the appearance of being the Constitution when suits are filed. However, it's in suspension that how they are able to ignore people's rights. Let me see. Here's the problem: since the Constitution was suspended in 1933, when you go after judges, they are not held accountable. No, they're not. That is correct. Then you can file to recuse himself. Yeah, that's correct because JR, I don't know, they say the Constitution is suspended, said it's not suspended. If the Constitution is suspended, then how are they, this is just my question, if the Constitution is suspended, then how are they prosecuting cases under admiralty jurisdiction? Because that's what they're doing. They are prosecuting these so-called criminal cases under admiralty jurisdiction. That's exactly what they're doing. That's what they're doing. All administrative proceedings are civil in nature. All administrative proceedings are creatures of statutes. When they file these so-called criminal charges against you, they are doing it under a statute. Admiralty courts are civil law courts. Civil law is statutory law. All of this shit is civil. All of it is civil. I read a case one day. It was this judge had sterilized a woman or her child or something like that, and she didn't get... They didn't give her any due process prior to them sterilizing her. He ordered her to be sterilized, something like that. And he was granted immunity, judicial immunity. He was granted judicial immunity. That right there pissed me off. That pissed me all the way off. And that's not even the worst part. If you're on the line, you have a question, just press 1 and I'll turn your microphone on and we can talk. Let's see. Right. It's all about contract. Yep. And these people, they get on my damn nerves. Let me see something. If we have a system that holds a wrongdoer accountable, but we fail to address the victims, and we are really losing sight on what a justice system should be all about. Let me read this. In Pennsylvania, the state examined the convictions of more than 3,500 teenagers sentenced by two judges. The judges were convicted of taking kickbacks as part of a scheme to fill a private juvenile detention center. In 2009, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court appointed Senior Judge Arthur Grimm to lead a victim review and the state later expunged criminal records of 2,251 juveniles. Graham told Reuters that every state should adopt a way to compensate victims of judicial misconduct. So what happened to the judges? What happened to the judges? Taking kickbacks. Motherfucker, you need to be in jail. That's where you need to be, in jail, for doing that shit. That's a violation of due process because you have a pecuniary interest in seeing me go to jail. Of course, that's going to affect his judgment. You have a financial interest in seeing me go to jail. Man, boy, I can't say what I want to say. But if they go to playing with my kids like that, they might well leave the state. Because if anything happens to my seeds as a result of any judge doing anything, it's a wrap. They might as well leave the state. Okay, Ocean. Okay. Yeah, I saw a case. Let's see. I get off in 30 minutes. I'll still be on. Let me see how much time I got on the air. I have about 41 minutes on the air if anybody want to ask me some questions. So just press 1 and I'll turn your microphone on. So I got about 41 minutes. Get back to you. Let's see. If we have a system that holds a wrongdoer accountable, but we fail to address the victims, then we are really losing sight of what a justice system should all be about. Should be all about, I'm sorry. In another review underway in Ohio, state public defender Tim Young is scrutinizing 2,707 cases handled by a judge who retired in 2018 after being hospitalized for alcoholism. Mike Benzo, a law professor at Case Western Reserve University, whose students are helping identify victims, compared the work to current investigations into police abuse of power. You see one case and then you look to see if it's systematic. Let me see. Special rules for judges. Yeah, I can believe that. Most states afford judges accused of misconduct a gentle kind of justice. Perhaps no state better illustrates the shortcoming of America's system of overseeing judges than Alabama. Here we go. As in most states, Alabama's 9-member Judicial Inquiry Commission is a mixture of lawyers, judges, and lay people. All are appointed. Their deliberations are secret, and they operate under some of the most judge-friendly rules in the nation. Alabama's rules make even filing a complaint against a judge difficult. The complaint must be notarized, which means that in theory, anyone who makes misstatements about the judge can be prosecuted for perjury. Complaints about wrongdoing must be made in writing. Those that arrive by phone, email, or without a notary stamp are not investigated, although senders are notified while their complaints have been summarily rejected. Anonymous written complaints are shredded. That is true, just to let y'all know, because they notify the judge that you filed a complaint against them. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. These rules can leave lawyers and litigants fearing retaliation, Commission Director Jenny Garrett noted in response to written questions. It's a ridiculous system that protects judges and makes it easy for them to intimidate anyone with a legitimate complaint. Sue Bell Cobb, Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court from 2007 to 2011. The Chief Justice of Alabama said that. Supreme Court. In 2009, she unsuccessfully championed changes to proceed and commissioned an Alabama Bar Association report that offered a scathing review of Alabama's rules. In most states, commission staff members can start investigating a judge upon receiving a phone call or email, even anonymous ones, or after learning of questionable conduct from a news report or court filing. In Alabama, staff will not begin an investigation without approval from the commission itself which convenes about every 7 weeks. By rule, the commission also must keep a judge who is under scrutiny fully informed throughout the investigation. If a subpoena is issued, the judge receives a simultaneous copy, raising fears about the witness intimidation. If a witness gives investigators a statement, the judge receives a transcript. In the U.S. Justice system, such deference to individuals under investigation is extremely rare. It's bullshit. Y'all ain't tired. I know I'm tired of this shit. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. Sick of it. Sick of it. I had a judge one day, y'all, so-called judge in municipal court. He was an old white man, too. I don't know why you do that. He was an old white guy. He told me he did not give me permission to talk. I'm a so-called alleged defendant. Motherfucker, I'm grown. I don't need your permission. I looked at that man and told him, I don't need your permission to talk. He disqualified himself from my, I ain't never seen that man no more, period. And I was the only one in that courtroom. Nobody else was in that courtroom except for me, that so-called judge, and some police officers. They do all of this to try to intimidate you. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't want to go to jail, then don't stand up for your rights, because this shit ain't for you, because they don't play fair. They don't play fair, family. They just don't play fair. Old white guy named Matthew Green. I'm grown. I don't need your permission. I'm going to tell y'all another story. I probably told y'all this story before, but this is a personal injury attorney. He's retired, but they hold him for special settings. And, you know, they had a special setting for me. Nobody else was in that courtroom except for me. It's me, the so-called judge, and some police officers and a bailiff. So I go in here, you know, he's an old guy, older white guy, and I'm standing behind the podium. I don't go past the docks. I stand behind there and I talk to him. And he tells me, he says, I can't hear you. So I just, okay, I'm sorry, I'll speak up, you know. I'll speak up so you can hear me. And he said, can you come up closer? I can't hear you. Step up here. I can't hear you. I said, no, I'm fine right here. And he gets mad because I don't do what he tells me to do. I'm grown. I don't have to do what you say. And you know I don't have to do what you say. Anyway, so at this point, you know, he's getting frustrated. I'm finding you in contempt of court. He allegedly found me in 3 counts of contempt of court and fined me $300 or whatever. So he looks at the police officers all behind me right now, trying to scare me and intimidate me and all this shit or whatever. I don't do nothing this man say. So he looks at the police and he asks them. He didn't say, I order you. He asks them. He says, will you take him to jail? He did that on purpose because he couldn't order them to take me to jail because he didn't have grounds to help to hold me in contempt. So that's not the end of the story. Pay attention. So they take me to jail, whatever. 2 to 3 days later, he orders me released from jail. But before I went to jail, I looked at him dead in his face and I said, I'm going to sue you. And they took me to jail. 2 or 3 days later, I go to jail. I mean, they take me to jail the same day, I'm sorry. But 2 to 3 days later, I'm getting out of jail. He ordered me released from jail on a writ of mittimus, M-I-T-T-M-U-S, I think, mittimus. He ordered me released from jail. And so when I got out of jail, I goes down to the clerk's office because I don't know what he did. You know, I want to see what he did that caused me to get out of jail. And I needed a copy of all of the paperwork because I was going to sue his ass. So I get a copy of the court order allegedly sentencing me to jail for 3 counts of contempt. Do y'all know this man did not even sign these court orders? That motherfucker Dre circle. He never signed nay on one of them. He drew a circle. Police, so they so dumb, they don't be knowing what the hell going on. Now, mind you, this is a personal injury attorney. So he is an attorney who you see when your rights are violated. But this motherfucker sitting on this bench violating my rights. This shit is all smoke and mirrors, man. It's all smoke and mirrors, y'all. All smoke and mirrors. Been there in the same situation, Romeo. Yeah, unfortunately, everyone is going to end up at your state Supreme Court under a writ of mandamus, a certiorari on the matter. I just got a federal appeals ruling on this. They judicial complaint process is not for them, but to put you as a target. It's that too, Jose, and it's to make it very tedious. Onerous, O-N-E-R-U-S or something like that. It's to make you frustrated and just like, damn, I got to go through all this just to file a complaint against a judge. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. That's what it is. Me personally, I don't care. Because I'm going to file a complaint against you. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to procreate criminal charges against you. And then I'm going to file a claim against your public servant bond. That's what I'm going to do. I don't care how you try to intimidate me. I know one damn thing. You better not never give me a lawful purpose to shoot your ass because you shot. I don't care about you being no judge. I have a right against self. I have a right to defend myself against anybody. And I'm going to exercise that right whenever I get a chance. I don't want to. I want to be left alone. But once y'all start violating people's rights, anything to do with my children, you automatically violate. You just need to leave the state. You just violate, period. Stump versus Sparksman. Yep. Stump versus Sparksman. Jose, Jerome ain't lying. If y'all need to go and read that case, they can do damn near whatever they want, can't it, Jerome? Caller 2807, you're on the line. How you doing?
What's going on? What's going on?
What's good, man? What's good?
Yeah, it's a support. How you doing?
Oh, what's good, man? What's up? What's up?
What's up, man?
I didn't know. My bad, man. Go ahead.
Nah, it's all good, man. It's all good. So I'm gonna put it out there. So there's a case. I'm not gonna put the man's name out there, but
uh-huh.
I'll put it in the chat. I put in the chat basically the Supreme Court file and the actual, article, what was going on. But just to make it brief, he was a decorated, in the Air Force. He was a decorated Air Force member, and he became a judge down here in Florida. So basically he was calling out all the judges, all the attorneys, basically called, like, putting out all their dirty clothes out, you know, for people to see. As soon as he did that, they basically did they tried to get him on a misconduct charge, misconduct against the court, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for something he did, I believe, like 10 years prior, and basically, it was something that he did while he was in the Marines. So, imagine, basically, while he's calling him out, right, and he has, you know, viable evidence. His family was actually at risk. They had to put him in witness protection. Judges, attorneys, they were just, you know, kind of, you know, they even tapped his phone. If you read the article, tap his phone.
Well, so he was getting ready. This was about to be a trial. He was getting ready to testify against them or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. He had all his ducks in a row. Put his name out there now because he's a mediator. He's still, you know, part of the bar, obviously. And I feel the same way. I feel the same way about you. I don't trust not one of them, not one. But for him to do that was kind of admirable, admirable, because
I agree.
His family, I mean, they were threatened. He had, you know, random visits in his office. They tried to disbar him. And if you read the actual Supreme Court case, it'll talk about it. And even in the article itself, I put it in the chat. But basically, he put his life on the line. But the whole point I was trying to make is when you sign up, when you get that bar card, it's like a whole different, a secret oath that they're making. So if you call them out, it's like, okay, we're going to put your head on a stick. So.
I was talking to a guy. I did a consultation for somebody probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think I told y'all this, but I'm going to say it again. And he said his attorney told him that a lot of the arguments that the within the so-called sovereign citizen movement is true. He says, but he can't go in there and argue that because he'll get in trouble with the bar.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what he said. Which I believe
right when you sign up and get that, once you basically, kneel to the crown, it's over. You don't really have no rights. You're part of their so-called group, and anything they say or do goes. And I mean,
I agree. I think that is their way of controlling everything, because they won't let you go to court and argue a case before anyone if you're not a so-called an attorney. But you can't at common law you can do that. If you read that, I don't know if you read that case that I did that video on, attorney versus counsel. Mm-hmm. But at common law, they were called counsel. Attorneys couldn't testify. I mean, attorneys couldn't they couldn't argue the case. They can only show up and at your court proceeding or whatever, if you weren't there. But counsel could argue the case. Counsel could file all of the documents, argue the case, admit evidence and shit like that. That's what counsel could do. That's why. If you read that case, it's an Alaska case. Matter of fact, I'm gonna post that to the chat section for y'all right now. Let me see if I can find it right quick. I'm gonna post it in there so everybody can read it.
Yeah, I also put the case of the judge, and it brings up a lot of facts, man. Especially like even how you cite your pleadings, and it kind of gives you a good indication on how to proceed, especially if you're, if you're in a superior so-called court, and how to actually write it and stuff like that. So it's actually really good. Just to read it. So
did you put it in the chat section? I didn't see it.
Wow. All right, yeah, I'll put it in again. Yeah, that's crazy. I'll put it in right now.
All right. I didn't see it.
Okay. That is it's on Justia. That's the case. And then the actual article explaining what was going on, to his family and stuff like that. And basically his life was at risk. And I mean, I got to give him credit, man. And I'm the biggest, I'll be honest, I'm the biggest skeptic of attorneys. And I don't, even if it's my own family, I don't trust them. That's just me. I don't care who you are. But, go ahead.
No, I was going to say they real tricky, man. And the reason how they trick people is because when you go to telling people that these people are playing a word game with you, people think you crazy.
I mean, they don't know it because it's, I mean, you have to actually be on a level, you know what I'm saying? Like most people, if you compare most people, their level of vocabulary is what? Less than 400 to 500 words. If you compare it to a regular judge or anybody that studies law,
mm-hmm.
way more than
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
it really is. It really is.
Yeah, you can't.
Back to what I was saying about the. I posted the case in there for y'all to see. Crane versus State. They tell y'all the distinction between an attorney and counsel, just to let y'all know, because there is a distinction. Just to let y'all know.
Okay.
So in cases tried at common law, you had a right to counsel.
Exactly.
You had a right to counsel. So I'm assuming that because these cases are not tried at common law, that you don't have a right to counsel. They give you an attorney cloth as counsel. That's what they do. Cloth at counsel. And these proceedings are not common law proceedings. This is admiralty, and it's an administrative proceeding.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that right there. Once it's set in stone, then I mean, you already know the game, and you already you're kind of behind. You're not in equity. So, man, I really like urge people to read this and understand, like, if you're in law school and stuff like that, you know, like, you might want to think twice about,
yeah,
you know,
doing
it.
Did you post it again? Did you post the case again?
Yeah, I posted it. Yeah, I posted it. I posted it right now. No, I posted the first link is the actual case. Second link is an article explaining basically what was going on to his family and himself.
It must
but
be a delay,
like,
man. You don't see nothing, man.
Wow. I'm going to do it one more time,
see,
man.
Yeah, I don't see nothing. And it must be a delay or something.
No, I'm going to do it one more time, man. Cause other than that, that's scary, man. Okay,
man.
I posted it now.
Okay, I'll check it out. Once the live is over with, I'll check it out and see. But sometimes all the comments, I have to approve some of the comments. So I'll check it out and see.
Wow.
So has any of this stuff ever happened to you when you went to court?
What, like basically getting, you know, I guess, you know, blindsided and stuff like that?
Yeah, that. Have you ever tried the Sixth Amendment argument to know the nature of the action? Have you ever tried that before in court?
I don't take that route, because typically I try to. I mean, to be honest with you, I try to. You know, obviously all of us do, but we try to make sure that we don't even get to that point. So,
gotcha.
But let's say if I do get there, typically what I would do is. I would send a private message to the judge in his, you know, in his office, you know, restricted access, explaining what's going on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And basically saying that, you know, I'm not a peasant. I'm not a heathen. I'm not one of your goyim.
Yeah.
I'm not any of them. I'm not. So. If you treat me as such, I'll make sure, you know, I'll do, you know, in my full power to make sure that I receive my remedy and contact all agencies necessary to make this visible.
That is crazy. The fact that all of them are administrative agencies. The DMV, the school board, the fire department, the sheriff's department, the police department. The damn food stamp office, the courts, they all administrative agencies, and they all corporations.
Yeah, and their businesses. That's the thing. Like, when you go at them, it's not that. I'll be honest, like, I think I got to a point where even now I can actually, as sick as it sounds, I can actually come to some reconciliation and understand their point of view now. For them, it's just business. Right. So if somebody comes in, right, let's say like that judge and, you know, puts out their dirty, you know, laundry, then it's messing up business. You know what I'm saying? So then that's all they see it as. And I mean, I kind of understand, you know, because I mean, with that type of business, I mean, it's all or nothing. If your business is exposed, your life is not only over, but. You're gonna go to prison. So, You know, and I mean, once you become a ward of the state, I mean, you don't have any, you don't have any choices. It's kind of like making a, you know, like making an oath to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I used to be a longshoreman. I used to be a longshoreman.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if y'all know what that is, but I used to work on ships that used to come into the port from off of the sea. So all of these ships, they would have names. These ships would have names on this, and at the front of the ship. It would be on the front left or the front right of the ship. And the names on these ships were spelled in all capital letters. All of them. And I didn't really think about that shit until just now. All of them were spelled in all capital letters.
It's crazy. This whole, like, you know, real versus fiction. I mean, they put it out for you in plain sight. You know, like, if you actually understand it, they kind of subliminally show it to you. You know, whether
you
it be the words it. Or. The... Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I'm to a certain degree, I'm still trying to understand this territorial jurisdiction. You can't really. It seems like it's a mixture of, it has an actual concrete aspect to it, and it has a fictional aspect to it. For example, the post office. The post office is subject to the territorial jurisdiction of Congress. Because if you go in there and you do anything to anybody in that post office, the feds coming to get your ass. But your city.
Because it's regulated by it.
Yeah, because those are federal employees. But they're sitting on state property. Unless the state in its corporate capacity and the United States in its corporate capacity have done some type of business, which is 9 times out of 10, that's what they've done. They've done some type of business to where the state annexed or sold that land to the feds, and that land over there or that property is no longer considered state property or whatever, which is, that makes sense, because they have embassies. They have embassies in this country that are they foreign. That's foreign territory. So if you were to go there, you would be violating international law or some shit like that. Like, for example, like, let's say if you in New York somewhere. There may be an embassy set up to where that embassy is a part of China or Russia or something like that. So everything in there is Russian property. The grass, the soil, the building, all the agents in there, that's why they have their flags over there. And if you go over there, then that's like a fucking act of war or some shit like that. You can do anything to somebody over there.
Yeah, they treat you as an enemy of the state, pretty much.
Something like that. I've seen TV shows on that. I've seen TV shows on that and stuff like that.
It's even in some of their statutes. I think it was the Trading with the Enemy Act, I believe. But
I've heard of it.
But basically, the public or the general public is basically an enemy to each corporation. When you go in there, it's already adversarial, but now they've already, basically put a stamp saying that you're an enemy to us. So their job there is it's not to, you know, give you passage or any type of remedy. It's there to basically, you know, profit in any way that they can. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Our job is just to basically hold them accountable and basically tell them, hey, look, you know, I'm more than enough. Like, I'm more than knowledgeable to actually get out the matrix and you know, conduct myself, you know, in an honorable manner. And I've come to realize this after, like, studying so much, that that's what courts are really there for. I think they're just there. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a slave, right? Mm-hmm. You're a 14th Amendment slave. They want to gauge on whether or not you're a capable individual to kind of conduct yourself honorably, whether it be, you know, doing your, you know, private affairs, private banking, whatnot, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a test, you know. It's a test to basically get out the matrix, man. And it's one person at a time. It's not something that I can teach or even, like, give the game, because there's going to be so many, you know, they throw all these traps out there when you're in court, like you were talking about, judge try to get you, you know, to come over the actual, you know, come to the bench and
mm-hmm.
pass the bench and do all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are the things that people, I mean, are going to have to actually identify and do themselves. Otherwise, you know, it's not something that, you know, everybody can do. It has to, individually, you have to be, I mean, not only in the right mind state, but just everything, man, because it's literally warfare of the mind. So if people understood that, trust me, man, I think the world would be a better place. And I think they're just gatekeepers, man. They're just gatekeepers. These people are gatekeepers. I mean, they've already signed basically their will, saying that, you know, they lost their humanity and all that for whatever, money or some type of status. And I mean, you can look at their clothes, man. Like, cats, you know, wearing black robes, man. So
yeah,
I'm done. Yeah.
You said you would?
Yeah, go ahead. Nah, go ahead, bro. I'm done preaching that.
Okay, I got you. No, you good, man. I was just listening to you talk.
Yeah.
There was a I'm trying to think of this judge's name.
Sorry to cut you off. Did you get the message in the chat?
No, man. Ain't nothing popped up, man.
Bro,
I don't see it.
Really weird.
I put it
in the chat right now. Put it.
All right. Sometimes they'll try to block out comments. I'll be seeing that stuff sometimes. They'll try to block it out. they do,
oh,
for real.
Man.
They will. They'll try to block out comments. If y'all haven't, though, y'all need to go and read that case, Crane versus State, that I posted in the chat. It's an Alaska case. When they tell you the distinction between an attorney and counsel, whoever wrote that constitution, they omitted the word attorney for a reason. They did that intentionally. I'm sure that they know there's a distinction between counsel and attorney, and they did not want an attorney trying your case. So that's that. That's a good case. That's a real good case.
Yeah.
I actually thought that they were going to say this is sovereign citizen BS. And they were just going to make fun of these guys. That's what I thought they were going to do. But they didn't do that. They went and did the research, and they explained the distinction between it. And the
what,
term.
What year was it?
2005.
Oh, okay. That was recent.
Yeah, 2005. They say there's in Blackstone commentaries, there's a it has the common law definition for counsel there. Notice I say a common law definition.
Yeah, exactly. Common law definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Blackstone commentaries are, like, I know I sent you the videos, but I think it was basically, they were probably, you know, like, just chopping it up and talking about the actual commentary. So, but I think as individuals, man, if we just, you know, put the BS away, I appreciate your work, man. You, you know, you put yourself out there. And
I appreciate it, man.
And,
I really
you know,
do. I'm just happy people are listening.
Man.
I'm happy people are listening. And I feel good when people tell me that they're actually learning from my videos. Sometimes I know I stutter.
No.
I stutter sometimes. No, sometimes I can't pronounce some of these words.
Nah, man. We rooting for you, man. We rooting for you, man. We really are rooting for you. And, I mean, to be honest, man, if I can do anything, to help you or whatever information, stuff like that, you know, I'll do my best. Because, I mean, everybody, you know, Alabama, yeah, Alabama. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of you know, stuff going on in the court system over there.
Man, they terrible. They awful. they just terrible, man. But it's pretty much the same wherever you go. People go in. Come on, man. Don't nobody want to go no jail. So they go in. They comply. They pay their fines or they plead guilty. And that's it.
Yeah, man. It's man, I don't even want to get started with it. Man, you know what? There's a individual on the, I guess, you can check out his page. I'm not trying to promo him or anything like that, but he does a lot of good work, and he's actually making a database.
Say his name. I don't care about that, man. Say his name. I need to find out. We need some information.
Okay. His name is Audit Them, and this individual is making a database. Audit Them. So you put audit
okay.
Like, yeah, audit, and then them.
Okay.
This individual, basically, he specializes in FOIAs. So he does, like, basically go in person, you know, and basically request some, you know, some information, you know, via FOIA.
Okay.
And he actually exposes a lot of information about our public officials. And he's actually currently he's making a database with all county public officials with all their information, meaning their oath of office, their bond, all of that, basically explaining
okay.
that. And another good thing is he talks about some of the, you know, like fees and a lot of the, you know, the tricks and stuff that people pay for on a daily basis that they don't understand that
uh-huh.
they shouldn't be paying for,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, a lot of the stuff, I'll give you an example, you know, your code enforcement, you know, unless, again, this is if you, you know, if you comply and you agree, then of course you have to pay, you know. But if you don't, then there's not something. I mean, I wouldn't recommend anybody to comply, but again, some people want to. But, yeah, you know, he talks about that and, you know, just a lot of other things, really. But this guy, yeah, he's not like, you know, he's not like, you know, verbatim. Like, I don't know how good he is with law, but he's actually on, you know, doing the grassroots work. He's actually like videotaping them,
mm-hmm.
asking them the hard questions, and then, you know, basically seeing how they respond. You know,
mm-hmm.
you see these
options. That's how you do it.
That's yeah,
how you do it.
You get to
he's,
see
trying to, he's trying to prove to people what's going on. That's what it seems like. He's trying to prove to people and teach people
yep.
what to say and what to do in certain situations. That's what it seemed like to me.
And this individual, yeah, and he got, like, the past 2 weeks, he's calling every municipality, calling them, asking them, you know, hey, I want to file a FOIA request, you know, for X, you know, for basically credit card statements from public officials, you know, expenses that were spent in the annual
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
Not like asking, you know, cat, you know.
Yeah, you have a right to that stuff, man. They're borrowing all of this so-called money to benefit you at
yeah,
your expense.
Tax.
So
yeah,
you can just pay this shit
money.
Back in tax. So you got a right to see all of that shit.
Exactly. I mean, you made an oath. You signed an oath to, you know, be, you know, to conduct yourself correctly and to be transparent. And that's why, like, me personally, the FOIA, I think it's really important that people understand the FOIA, because with the FOIA, you get to see a lot of the information that, like, let's say, to get a public official bond, you might not be able to get it, you know, in some states. They make it very hard.
I didn't use a FOIA request. I guess it depends on which jurisdiction you're in, because I didn't use a FOIA request to get their bond. I just wrote a letter to the Division of Risk Management, and that's how I got it. Let me say this. I have about 3 minutes left on the air. So if you want to talk to me, you need to press 1, and I'll turn your microphone on. So just press 1. But back to what I was saying. I'm sorry about that, man. Well, damn, somebody somebody else just raised their hand. So let me see what they want.
Go ahead.
Michael. All right. All Thank right, you for
man.
Calling in, man.
I appreciate that.
All right.
No problem.
Hello.
All right, 0123. How you doing? You on the line?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's good? We got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, man. What's up? On the air. Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Oh, just for on the air. Okay. Nah, it's cool. It's cool. Wait, is the call gonna cut off or?
Yeah, it's gonna cut off. I'm gonna still be live, but it's gonna cut off. I'm gonna still be on YouTube.
It's gonna cut off. Okay. My question is, I had wrote the comment, and basically it's about child support and custody, because I filed for emergency custody first, and then, like, child support came, like, a month after and been charging me half of my check. They was taking, like, 49% of my check, even though I filed for custody first, and they still didn't do nothing about me seeing my son. They just been extorting me.
What state is the mother in?
It happened in North Carolina. The court cases, I filed for custody in North Carolina. She ran to Georgia. And the crazy thing is she wasn't showing up for court, so I got an equal custody order that said we had equal custody. Then I went to Georgia to enforce it, and the sheriffs, they didn't even follow the custody order. They said, because it said we had to meet in North Carolina, that I have to get her to meet in North Carolina to actually get my son. But the fact that I did them a favor and drove all the way to Georgia to come get him, they still didn't let me get him. And they just, man, they've been playing a lot of games. Like, they play a lot of games. It's just really about extortion and taking the money from you.
You're going to have to go through some type of administrative proceeding to get your remedy. And they gonna drag their feet, bro. It's gonna piss you off.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be easy. I got up. Let me see. I got 46.
This happened March 16th, 2021, and I've been dealing with this the whole time, and I still haven't seen my son. They haven't done nothing the whole time. And the crazy thing is, if he's in Georgia, why is North Carolina still charging me?
You should be able to go and try to get it enforced in Georgia since she's crossed state line. I don't see why you shouldn't.
I don't want to enforce at all. And it was like, that's another thing. They saying that I started off on $5,000.
The phone is about to hang up. The phone is about to hang up. I got like 2 seconds. Just I'll stay live. I'll stay here.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. I'll just keep listening, bro.
All right. Let's see here. Damn. Okay. You said, hello. You still there? Sound like I can still hear you.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, well, let's keep talking. I thought the phone was going to hang up. We can keep talking then. I'm sorry about that. We'll keep talking until they hang up, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, but you said you don't want to do it in Georgia.
I had a trial, like, for the custody, and they ended up giving me 2 days out of the month to see him, and nobody even enforced that. I've been down there. Nobody even let me see him for the 2 days. The thing I was saying, I had equal before him. We haven't been together for a long time, like since my son was probably like 3. He's 12 now, and like we just been it been equal custody, nothing on paper, but it just been equal custody. We both sharing them. Just she got into some type of trouble in North Carolina, so she ran to Georgia because she got into some type of trouble, and I brought all this information to the court. And they still have done nothing. And then,
do you know where he is?
In Georgia, yeah. I had went there with the sheriff. I had called the sheriff, gave them the copy of the custody order that I had. And, they did nothing. They escorted me to the house, and they were saying that they were going to take her to jail if she didn't let me see him. That's what they were saying before she showed up and everything. But she showed up crying and just being hysterical, and she ended up calling her lawyer, who talked to the sheriff in Georgia, and they end up coming with that loophole that said, because the paperwork says y'all have to meet in Fayetteville, North Carolina, that's where you got to meet. And I'm like, bro, either way, it's contempt of order, because I came all the way down here, and they're still not letting me see them. I did them a favor. I saved them a hell of gas and all that. I came all the way to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. if you know where your, I'm gonna tell you this, if you know where your son is, you can get them. They can't, I mean, they, if it's split custody or whatever, they can't take you to jail for that stuff, man. If it's, if both, well, she probably has like actual custody, like physical custody of them, and you probably just get visitation. Is it something like that?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. My bad, it cut out.
Okay. So she, so does she have physical custody pursuant to the court order?
According to the court order, no, it was equal custody. The one that I had was equal custody. When she didn't show up for court, but I filed for the emergency custody, and she didn't show up. And it's crazy because she's not even present, and I'm in court arguing with the judge about equal custody. And I'm like, bro, I got to go through all this. My ancestors died for equal rights. How come I'm not getting treated equal? She's not even here to present and speak for herself when she had a duty to be here and speak. She's moving in dishonor, and y'all still trying to get them the benefit of the doubt. I went through hell just to get the equal custody drawn up. And then when I get it, I go all the way to Georgia, and they just ignore it. They just, like, didn't have it. They told me, oh, well, y'all got to meet in Fayetteville. And they keep trying to get me to come to Georgia to fight the custody, but North Carolina is a better state for dads because it's a dean. It's called Dean versus Dean, which is a Supreme Court case where basically it says no parent is allowed to sever the connection with the other parent, because if you do that, then you're not moving in the best interest of the child. And I brung all this case law at court, brung all that stuff up and everything, and they just ignore.
Yeah, that's what they tend to do. I think you should go and litigate it in Georgia. That sounds like a quick the case what you just cited, even though it may not be a case that was held in Georgia, it sounds like a principle. So it seems like it seems like a principle, and if it's a principle, it's applicable everywhere. So it sounds like what you just said was no parent can withhold the child from the other parent or something like that, because that's not acting in the best interest of the child. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
that's the principle.
Yeah, it's a Dean versus Dean case in North Carolina. I had been searching for it. I've been looking it up, but I'll make sure I remember that one because it was so like similar to my case. That's why I remembered it. And it basically saying that if the other parent severs the connection with the other parent and the child, that they're not moving in the best interest of the child. And in that case, the man had won full custody of his son because of the mother did, and she kept him away from them for like years without the ability to call or talk to him. And when they went to court, they told her that she's not allowed to do that. Like, you're not allowed to sever a connection.
You need to go to Georgia and do it. I hate to see you do that, but that's what you got to do, because that's where she is now. You feel me? You need to go to Georgia and do that. To be honest with you, I don't think any sheriff can enforce an out of state court order or a foreign court order in another state, so to speak. I don't think they have the authority to do that, to be honest with you. I would go ahead and just litigate it in Georgia, file for, half, whatever, just visitation rights, whatever, and serve her. She has to come to court. If she don't, they'll probably hold her in contempt or something like that, or you can move to file a motion, for her to be held in contempt of court until she complies with a court order or something. Like, you're going to have to do this in Georgia, man. She's gone in North Carolina. She's just going to keep costing you money, so on and so forth. I hate you going through that, man. I really do. I really hate you going through that. My kids, my kid's mother tried to do something like that to me. She tried to put me on child support. And she wouldn't even let me, she wouldn't let me see my kids. So, I beat it by, by playing the name game. That's how I beat it, because I was still learning stuff. And I challenged the jurisdiction of that administrative court. And they never proved jurisdiction. She didn't couple times she didn't even show up, so they just dismissed it. And I never had anything else to worry about. This was probably almost 10 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
What else? Me personally, I don't care. I'm not sure how anybody feels about this, but me, I am never going to file for visitation with any of my kids, Mom. Me personally, I'll never do that because I shouldn't have to do it. Two, I'm very private when it comes to my kids. And I know that females, generally speaking, no disrespect to all the ladies watching this, but they just be emotional and they just be mad for a little while or whatever. After they're not mad anymore, and then they just do it or whatever, which is, they shouldn't do the shit, to be honest with you, but of course that's what they do when they get mad. You ain't gonna ever see a TSN and blah, 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 this, all this type of shit or whatever. But that's just
me. She's serious about it because it's been a minute. It's been some time, and like I don't know, she's not wired right. Cause
yeah, I agree. You said it's been about 9 years for you, ain't it? You said the last time.
No. After last time I saw him, he was 9. He's 12 now, but it's been equal. We haven't been together since he was like 3. But
okay.
The whole time.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to go to Georgia. I'm almost certain if you go to Georgia and get a judgment against her, you can get that judgment enforced in Georgia.
Okay.
I think you got a better chance because it's in Georgia now. Now you have more leverage. You know what I'm saying? So you can call the sheriff or something like that or whatever, and or you can get a let me see. If you already got a judgment, what they call it, a res judicata or something like that, you'll probably be able to, you may be able to get a similar judgment in Georgia, like the same judgment that you got in North Carolina. You may be able to do that.
Just bring those paperwork down there. Just bring that paperwork down there and then see if they can just do it down there.
I would need to do some research on that, to be honest with you, but you probably can, probably, but I don't think you can get, until you do it in their state court, I don't think that you can get any sheriff to enforce a foreign court order, because, it has no weight there, if you ask me. But maybe I'm wrong, I don't know everything, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they was going to give it, because I went to the sheriff County first and showed them the paperwork and everything, and then they read it and they're like, yeah, you could get him. And then they kept telling her, if you don't bring him back right now, you going to jail. He needs to come get him. But when she came back and she got out the car crying, doing all that hysterical stuff, she called her lawyer. He talked to the sheriff. They changed their tune quickly. They told me, oh, well, y'all got to technically meet in North Carolina, and they went through all that, like there's nothing they could do type stuff.
Man, she could have gave you that baby right there.
She
could.
They wrong for that. They wrong for that. And I don't know, man. It's like it's just not set up for us. It's not set up out here.
Somebody says, you'll have to go through the process all over again if you go to jail. You probably, I mean. I hate to have you spending all that money again or whatever, and all that time and energy.
Yeah.
You do, that's what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that stuff should be easy because they already have these forms. All you have to do is just fill them out. You know, so they have the forms that are already done in some states. Well, you just fill it out and you file it in court after you pay an administrative fee or something like that.
Okay.
And that's it.
I got one more question for you. It's about some traffic kind of criminal stuff. Speeding and failure to stop for sirens or whatever. And this happened in 2021 or around November. And
you said it's speeding.
speeding and failure to stop for sirens or something.
Okay.
Like, it, I guess resisting arrest. But my first bond was $3,500 for this, and I bonded out. I've been to every court date all the way up until, like, I think it was the 15th. The 15th. So when the 15th came, they told me to come to court on that Monday. I came that Monday. They said, come back next Monday. So I came the next Monday. They said, take your number down because you on standby. We kind of got some stuff ahead of you. Handle, and then we will call you when we're ready. I'm like, as soon as they said that, I'm like, you can't just call me at a drop of a dime because I'm fighting for custody, all this stuff, and I'm still working on everything. I can't just call me at the last minute and tell me to drop everything and come to court. I told them when I gave them the number. So then they called me Wednesday. They called me Wednesday and say I got to be at court at 9:30. I tell them on the phone, I'm going to be late. All right, I'm going to try to make it. So then I get there. I'm probably like an hour late when I get there, and I go to the clerk room to file the paperwork that I had, because they've just been doing all type of corrupt stuff. They take taking my lawyer and everything, all that stuff. So when I get in there, the clerk was like, they closed court. They closed court. She told me they closed court, and that basically it was an order out for my arrest. So I'm like, I've been here plenty of times. Court don't close till like 2 in the afternoon or something. She's like, they closed it early or something. So basically I had a failure to appear. So then they arrest me right there for the failure to appear, and now the bond is like $17,000. So I had to pay that to get out. And all this stuff, they got no evidence or nothing. The car was at the house before the cops even came. And then he's saying it was a routine traffic stop, when it was never a routine traffic stop.
Okay, so you're saying, you said a car was already at the house, you parked the car, you're not even in the car, or something like that?
It was like a low speed chase. I don't even say high speed chase. It was like a low speed chase. So the car pulled in the back of the house, the cop stopped in the front, and he just like wait for a minute before he even come back there. So everybody in the car went in the house, came back out. I only came out to talk to him because it was my car. So I'm talking to them, and then basically they like, we taking somebody to jail. And they end up taking me to jail for that.
You're saying the police, they don't know who was in the car. They just took you to jail.
Yes, because it was my car.
Yeah, well, they can't do that. That's a violation of due process. They charged you with a crime that you didn't even commit.
They have no proof.
Who was driving the car that day?
Nothing. They don't have nothing. And that's why I've been saying the whole time. I went to like the district court. And when I was in district court, I kept asking, all right, if the Constitution grants two forms of jurisdiction, which one are you guys continuing under? That's why I kept asking the same question. They couldn't answer that question for like months. So then they finally got tired of it. Yeah,
I had one judge to answer that question for me, one so-called judge. He's a circuit court state judge, so to speak. And he looked me dead in my face, and he said, it's not common law jurisdiction. He ain't say shit else. There's no criminal jurisdiction in equity. Equity don't have criminal jurisdiction. And he just told me that it wasn't common law jurisdiction. There was only one other.
Yeah.
Like some type of criminal aspect. And that's admiralty.
So one guy said,
didn't she have to get permission to move the child out of the state? I would say that
No, she just took them. She just took them out the state. That's what they doing.
Was that a stipulation in the court order? Because normally they put this stuff in the court order.
So when she left to Georgia, she left without me. Like, I didn't know at first. I didn't find out until she was in Georgia that she even left or whatever. So when I found out, I went to file for the emergency custody. And that means when you file for emergency custody in North Carolina, you're supposed to see a judge within 2 weeks. At least that's the max 2 weeks. They drew this case out for 2 years and some change. Like 2 years and some change. So by the time I finally got in front of a judge with her being there, they basically was using the fact that the child was acclimated in Georgia as a fact to keep him in Georgia. And I'm saying, that's not, I came to y'all. with the emergency custody. Y'all the ones who didn't act in the emergency. I told y'all it was emergency. I'm supposed to see a judge within 2 weeks. How did it turn to 2 years? And I mean, I'm calling down there every day. I'm going down there every day. They know me by face. They know me on like my face now. That's how much time I was spending down there.
I hate you going through that, man. This is what you need to do, in my opinion. You're going to have to go and do it in Georgia, man. You're going to have to go and do it in Georgia.
Oh, wait. I'm not even getting to the best part. That's why I was trying to think like of a promissory estoppel, because when he was in custody court, she tried to say, because she was trying to say, all right, why can't I get to my son? She was saying, I didn't know that you would be able to take care of him. And I said, well, how did you not know that if I was paying the child support the whole time? So under oath, she says in court that she hasn't received no child support payment. And I'm in court like, yo, y'all need to go in the back and check that. Like, go in the back.
Yeah, real shit.
This is the same court that I seen y'all take somebody's child support money from them. I seen the judge tell a nigga to go in his pocket and take what he had out and hand it to her in the courtroom. So I'm saying this is the same child support court. Like, it's the custody case, but it's the same court that handled child support. So y'all need to go in the back and check the paperwork, because y'all been taking half my checks this whole time. So where's the money at? That's what nobody want to answer. Where's the money? If y'all been taking my checks this whole time, and that should be a promissory estoppel, because y'all said y'all was taking it for this reason, and then y'all didn't execute out that reason.
You say a promissory estoppel?
Yeah.
I've heard of the term before, but I can't really remember what the definition of it was.
Basically, like, if you made a promise to somebody that you was going to do something and you didn't, uh-huh. you reneged on your promise and it cost the person money, then you owe that person.
Okay. I would need to look into that. That sounds interesting. That sounds really interesting. I'm trying to see if you can do some type of equity against, you know, your kid's mother. But I don't know. If I were you, I would just go to Georgia and I would just file it in Georgia and litigate that. You have to make sure you file it in the county court, whichever court that she's in. So that the venue will be found for the court to exercise the jurisdiction.
Did I learn that from you? Did I learn that from you about the chancery? Going to the chancery?
A chancellor? Equity?
Yeah.
Well, they may not in Georgia. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that was all I was asking about that.
All right, well, in Georgia, they may have merged the courts together. They may have merged all of them together. If they did, then you're gonna file it in a court of general in an equitable a suit in equity. You're gonna file your bill in equity in a court of general jurisdiction. Courts of general jurisdiction. They hear cases at law in equity, in admiralty, in maritime. So that their authority is not limited. They can hear all types of cases.
Okay.
They call it.
With that speeding one I was talking about, where they upped the bond to $17,000, is there a way I could make a claim to the bond since they used my Social Security to create that instrument?
I don't really too much study bonds like that. Not to that deep. So you probably need to ask use of that. But you said, could you make a claim to it because they're using your Social Security?
They use my social to create the instrument, to create the bond. So they created it out of my name. What I'm saying that is because when they arrested me for the failure to appear the day I came an hour late, on the paperwork it said the 15th. The date for the failure to appear said the 15th, and I was in court on the 15th. And I went down there to send a uh, to send a FOIA request for the cameras, because y'all got the cameras, y'all can see I was there on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what type of game they're playing.
No, you can file a motion for discovery and all that stuff, to get that. But or you can file an affidavit. I mean, you're a witness. If you file an affidavit stating you were here on the 15th and nobody else in that courtroom files an affidavit contradicting what you're saying, then everything that you said in the affidavit has to be construed as true. Yeah.
Okay.
You're a witness. All defendants are witnesses in their case. All of them. All plaintiffs are witnesses in their case. Well, depending on what it is, like unless it's a class action or something like that, then you probably wouldn't be a witness. But you would be, I forgot what they called it. I forgot the word. But you need to go to Georgia. You're going to have to go to Georgia and litigate that. Well, I mean, you probably can just file the paperwork in the mail, you know what I'm saying, and get it get it done like that, and then you wouldn't have to go to Georgia until, you actually get you have a court appearance or something like that, or a trial or something like that. Yeah, so you can do all this stuff in the mail. You don't have to go there yet.
Okay. But man, I definitely my phone about to die. But man, I appreciate you, man. You like, man, y'all, everybody that's on their roster, so y'all blessing, man. For real.
Yeah, don't let it confuse you, bro. Don't let this shit confuse you, man. All this shit is very easy. I promise you, it's so easy. Everything is based on the facts. You file a motion, and you state the facts in support of your motion on why it should be granted. You file a complaint. When you sue with somebody, you state the facts on which you base. Your reasons on why you're suing. You filing a bill in equity. You state facts on why you're suing for the equitable remedy that you're seeking. All of it, bro. All of it.
Okay.
It's all about the facts.
Yeah, man, I definitely appreciate it. I might just keep going, do some more research, keep looking shit up. Because, I mean, I feel like I'm in a position I can't do nothing but keep going because of what they took from me. They took so much from me.
I'm going to see if I can find you something right now from Jordan. I'm going to see if I can put it in the chat. So, we're going to call it, let me see something. Give me one second.
Okay.
Petition for joint custody. Let's see if this one for Georgia on here. Let's see if I can find a form. You can file a petition for custody in your county superior court. If you are divorcing, the petition will be included in your divorce papers. Forms and tools, child custody, Georgia legal aid, petition for legitimation and custody visitation. Let me see. Uncontested change of custody. Let's see what this is. In the superior court or blah, blah, blah. Petition, blah, blah. Petition for legitimation in custody visitation. I, my name, blah, blah, blah. And a petition in the legitimation actions. And I'm representing myself in the case, blah, blah, blah. State to follow. Standard name, blah, blah, blah. Field guardian, blah, blah, blah. Jurisdiction. Well, it shouldn't matter because you're not a Georgia citizen. What should matter is she's a resident of Georgia.
Yeah.
So the court would have jurisdiction. The respondent resides outside of the state of Georgia, but my child resides in Blank County, Georgia. Okay. This is a decent form, but you probably going to have something. Hi, or maybe free Georgia child custody form. Let me see what this is. See if I can find this form. Where is it? in the probate court of Grant County petition. Blah blah blah. The minor child petition. The minor child's mother is not a natural born. Blah blah blah. Is has sole legal has joint legal custody of the minor. Okay. What is this? What type of? Let me see what type of petition this is. It contains everything under the sun, starting with the minor details, the state number. It continues several aspects, the whole details of minor child birthday. You know, the status, the proper venue, child custody case. The probate standard form of the petition. I don't think this is the right form. Let me go to something else. The first one, I think the first one was the more appropriate form. File.
Okay.
Joint custody petition. Where's the child custody form? Let me see. Petition for temporary letters of guardianship of minor. Now we don't need that. You might be able to. I don't think this is good enough. This is a probate form, but there's a section on here. It says the minor's mother, blank. And then there's a section here that says has joint legal custody of the minor. Said minor is in need of temporary guardianship. The petitioner has the following relationship with the. I wouldn't say that. I think you're going to have to file a petition for custody. That's what this is. That's what you're going to have to do. Okay. I don't think this is it. Let me see. Let me see if they're going to show me a petition. I'm trying to go ahead and just find you a form that's already done, or you just have to fill in the blank.
Yes, okay.
So you don't have to, you know what I'm saying? So you don't have to type it yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Statutes, custody hearing. Free Georgia custody parenting. No, it ain't it. Trying to get it very well, it's not from where I'm at all. Trying to call it. It's probably going to be this form of people that saw the first time, but I don't think any other one is going to work. No, that ain't it. All right, I'm guessing it looks like it's going to be this one. It ain't it either. I think I got it. Looks like it's going to be the first one. I can't find another one. So I'm gonna post a link in the chat section for the other one. And
okay.
And I'm gonna give you that one. Because it does.
Okay. You said
I'm about to post it in the chat right now.
Yeah. All right.
All right, I just posted it in the chat. Let me know if you see it.
All right, hold on. Okay, I do see. I see it.
Okay, cool.
Let me say that real quick.
Somebody says file for full custody in New York. I mean, in North Carolina, she'll show up. I don't think that's gonna work, because you already have a court order in North Carolina for joint custody, and she's just doing what the hell she wanna do. So I wouldn't even waste my time in those states here in North Carolina. I'm gonna go straight to Georgia, and I will file it in the county court for which she is see the resident in. You have to make sure the venue is proper for that court to adjudicate that case.
Okay.
Now that's what I would do. That's what I would do. You should be good if you do that. Hopefully they act right.
Okay. I definitely appreciate that, Mom. I'm trying everything. I done tried everything, man. I done called the DSS about the mental abuse. So I feel like what she's doing is mental abuse. And then they didn't ever call me back. The school not letting me come there to see them. And I'm like, bro, I got the custody paper and everything. They said, well, if you're not on a signing paper, they saying they need some documents with my name on it. I said, don't y'all got the birth certificate?
They just, man, yeah. People there are a trip, man. They're a real trip. Honestly, like at once the child is birthed into this world, y'all automatically have like joint custody or whatever. That's without a court order. But once you make it a public matter, then they're going to start applying their statutes and applying their case laws and all this shit, you know, to it. That's why it's best to just really just get this stuff in writing with a woman. It's really best to just get it in writing. Because once you're in a private contract, you can't really, you know, it's kind of hard to get around them in court.
Man, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to definitely keep looking up and researching, man.
All right. Well, good luck to you, man. Good luck. Don't give up either. Bro. I know it's tough. Man.
I can't give up. I done been through some. I went through this, through everything. They done took half my checks, taxes, everything. They took so much. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Gotcha. I gotcha. All right. Well, when you go ahead and just, you know, follow Jordan and let me know what's going on. I'll help you any way that I can.
All right, I definitely appreciate you, man.
No problem, man.
All right, thanks, bro.
Peace. Okay. All right, y'all. Before I go and end this live, I need to know if anybody have any questions. Anybody have any questions, anything they want to say, want me to comment on, anything? Been on here about 2 hours and 30 minutes now. Anything, any questions, anything. Let me go, I'm going to go back and read through some messages in the chat to see if anybody had any questions. Is this your immunity stunts or response? Anybody? If y'all don't have any questions, I'm gonna go ahead and end the live. I had a number for y'all to call in, but I ran out of time. Phone hung up. So that was that. I'm reading over the messages in the chat right now. Do you have Styles manual on PDF? What Styles manual? You mean what Styles manual, SG? Not Styles. Okay, what are you talking about, SG? Forms and pleadings. I actually don't have one. But if you have seen a, to be honest with you, you can type in, all right, quick question is you, is there a particular document that you're trying to draft, that you want to know how to draft and how it looks? Is there anything like that? Or are you just asking for general forms and pleadings? You know, just any types of cases. Law library is an hour away. Okay. What type of case are you trying to plead? All of this stuff is the same, man. It's really the same. General motions. Okay. Go and look at my video, how to draft a motion. And that's exactly how a motion looks. As a matter of fact, that is how a complaint looks, a divorce petition looks. It's just a different name and different parties. But it's generally everything is drafted the same way. You have the title of the court or wherever you are here. You have the plaintiff here, the defendant here, and the cause number right here. Then you have the title of the document here. And then you have your words under the title of the document. It's everything works like that, almost everything. The only thing that looks a little different is when you're drafting petitions for a writ of mandamus, a writ of certiorari, a writ of prohibition, writ of pro warranto, stuff like that. But other than that, most of this, almost all of it, and I mean like probably about 98, maybe 99% of it looks the same. All of it. Let me find this video for you, SG. I'm going to post a video for you in the chat section, how to draft the motion. Let's see. Where is it at? There it is, right there. All right, I'm about to post a video for you right now in the chat. I downloaded all your videos. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. I just posted the video in the chat section for you. How to draft a motion. All of it is the same, man. All of it. You're welcome. No problem. They're not smarter than you, man. They just read, bro. They just read. Yeah, you do. You right about that. You right about that. I'm surprised. Well, they ain't taking none of my videos. They haven't took any of my videos down yet. Hopefully they don't. All right. Any questions? Any more questions before I go, y'all? Any more questions? Civil, criminal, equity, at law, common law, admiralty, what? Any questions? All right, well, I'm guessing nobody else has any questions. That'll probably be the end of this live. Everybody enjoy your day. Today's Sunday. Anyway, everybody, I hope everybody enjoys their week, their Sunday. Everybody have a safe trip to work tomorrow and enjoy your day with your family. I'm about to end this live. I'm tired anyway. All right, y'all, the Supreme Litigant is out. Peace.
No, they said she said they weren't gonna go shopping till March.
I got the receipt right here. $127. You heard me, ma? $127. I'm not going to do that, feel me, but I feel like I ain't. Well, you know, I just don't have enough fun. Yeah, she can stay to win. What does she want to do? Just stay in the wind for this, man. I ain't gonna tell you you're making two trips. Unless you want to now. That's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you, you know. It's up to you. I'm here, you know. I ain't saying I don't miss my baby. So the only
next day,
ma'am.
I said, when I last had, she said, when you coming back tomorrow? I just wanted to come get my baby. What you gonna do, Bella? You staying or you going?
Yeah, when you get your love, girl, you better not show up.
I'm cleaning up.
And tell them I need a break. I don't do that.
You can call me and tell me.
Yeah.
What you want? You want to leave me? You do? Then what am I going to do about my baby? I thought you didn't miss your ugly daddy.
That's what she said.
He's not ugly. She didn't say that. I just said it. He's not ugly.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
You know me. You love me. If you need me to, I will.
So what I'm going to do is get dressed, and I'm waiting on that car when I got to the clothes in the dryer. But by the time I get dressed, they should be ready.
I'm like, yeah, she be trying to go mind up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'll call you when I get dressed.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so I got the clothes in there. Cook. That's the case.